Coming up next, it's Natalie Cutler-Welsh with her show, Up Your Brave. Community, connections, holistic health, and more on RCR. Reality Check Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to the Up Your Brave show. You are here with me, your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh, and I hope you had a lovely long weekend. I know it might feel like a while ago, but it's always interesting once you have a long weekend day that it's confusing what day it is. But I had a lovely combination of relaxing and playing during the long weekend. Currently, we are fostering a mom and six kittens for the SPCA. So there's been lots of time just sitting and observing and watching them play and grow, which is really good for me, at least, to be present and in the moment. And the other thing I did this weekend to be present and in the moment is I spent some time in my vegetable garden, which admittedly was massively overgrown with spinach going to seed and all sorts, but it was really good to clear that out. If you want to check out my photo of that, you can see it on Instagram. Please do follow Reality Check Radio on one of our social media platforms if you haven't done that already. We're in most of the places, not all of the places, but we are on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So please go ahead and follow if you haven't already. Maybe share a post or do a little shout out if you feel inclined. Here is what I've got coming up for you on today's show. First up, I'm going to be chatting with Belinda Faulkner. We will be discussing the topic of moving stagnation with Japanese style acupuncture and the importance of self-care. She's even going to talk us through a practical massage technique that all of us can do at home to help the lymphatic system and help with breathing as well. And she will also share with us one of her go-to items that she has in her cupboard and she recommends for everybody, which has so many benefits for tension, tightness, and pain, as well as for support for your sleep. So listen in to find out about what that is. After that, I'm going to be chatting with a dynamic duo, Neha Bansal and Samantha Young Fielding, who interestingly met each other 8 years ago at a networking event, and their paths crossed a few times, and now they are collaborating in their business and also sharing wisdom with us today about the healing journey through meditation, mindset, and movement. Actually, speaking of meditation, if you missed my interview where we were looking at bringing Joe Dispenza to New Zealand, go and check that out. He's got an incredible meditation series that you can listen to as well. All right. Before we dive into the interviews, I've got some music and a little bit of feedback in the mailbag. But I wanted to address this. It's an exciting week in history. I mean, every week is exciting, but it's especially an exciting week because this time next week, literally, remember the 5th of November. This time next week, which is the 6th of November in New Zealand, it will be the US election. And now I know some of you might roll your eyes and you're thinking, Nat, not everyone cares about America. I get that. I really do. But we got to admit that what happens in America is intricately impactful on the world internationally. We're so intertwined. And whether you've got an opinion or not about who's going to win and whether it's going to be legit and all the things, I personally am hoping for it to become a time of heightened insight and truth and revelation about what is and what has been going on in the world, both politically and spiritually, financially, et cetera, for many, many years. I'm not saying I'm putting all my faith in this as a pivotal moment, but I kind of have been hanging out for it, just saying. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens, what transpires in the next week, and as a result, the following weeks as well. If you missed Marie Buskey's show this morning on counterculture, be sure to catch the replay. And by the way, the replays go up pretty much the same night that we live stream an interview. So that's pretty awesome. Cheers to our team. But she did an incredible compilation from a series of her interviews all about the election and politics in America and the impact that it can have. It's a really powerful 40-minute segment that will quickly school you up on various sides of the story. So it's kind of a really quick way to get a broad perspective. So go and check that out when you get a chance. So in honor of the USA election next week, I have chosen a song to kick off the show. This song is by a band named Europe, and it is the final countdown.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, or even if you don't agree with what you're listening to, then get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057. Or if you'd rather email us, you can at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so get in touch with us now.
At this point on the Up Your Brave show, we sometimes like to go to the mailbag and hear what our listeners have to say. We really love when you write in, by the way, and let us know. The other thing I'd love to know is, who are you listening to, following on Rumble, Telegram, or other free speech platforms? We would love to know that as well, who your fave is. You can send us a text, 2057, or you can email inbox@realitycheck.radio. Please be sure, if you ever do give us feedback or suggestions or song requests or guest suggestions, please make sure you put Up Your Brave in the subject line to make sure that it gets back to me. Thanks so much. All right, here's one from Christina. Natalie, your conversation with Gregory Briers stopped me in my tracks. Ratahail, Danny Virk, and gratitude, all such strong touchstones. And now this heartfelt song, Swoon, Christina. Oh, thank you so much, Christina, for writing in. By the way, Greg Briers, if you missed it last week, he was talking about mindset. He recovered from a series, I think it was three or more, a series of strokes. He actually learned how to walk again, how to speak again. Quite an amazing, inspirational guy. You can check that out on the replay page. Here's another one from Mary. Amazing show, Natalie. I was walking the dog, all teary-eyed, when the song You Hold Me Up was on. Two truly inspiring guests, Mary. Thank you, Mary, for writing in. Yes, we had Greg Briers followed by Dr. Sarah Ferrant last week, and she was talking about health and the different approach to health outside the system. So that was very insightful as well. Something happened for me last week. As I mentioned, I've got these foster kittens, which is adorable. And so I've had a few friends come around to see them. And I did have a friend come around who she made a point of saying to me, hey, she's like, I know it's been really hard for you in the past few years. She said, I just wanted to let you know that I really admire you for your integrity and for standing your ground. And even though we don't agree on things, I really wanted to let you know that, I mean, I find it very courageous. So that's a little bit of mailbag for me. And I thought, that is amazing that she can say that to me, because not many people do reach out and let people know. So maybe there's someone in your life that you want to share something with, then maybe that's a little bit of inspiration. But I think that was really lovely for me to hear, particularly from this person who definitely, you know, didn't necessarily see things from my perspective, which is totally fine. But she could value the fact that we did have unique perspectives. And I think that is the point we want to be at. That's really what I'm trying to encourage on the Up Your Brave show with Reality Check Radio, is to encourage people to be allowed to ask questions and have different perspectives. So thank you so much for being part of that journey with all of us. All right, we're going to go to our first interview in just a moment.
If you've been told to pull up your socks recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everyone. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. And next up, I'm talking to Belinda Faulkner on the topic of moving stagnation with Japanese-style acupuncture and the importance of self-care. Welcome to the show, Belinda.
Hi, Natalie. Hi, great to be here with you.
Good to have you on the show. I know you've been busy traveling, and I've been wondering about acupuncture, and I'm excited we're going to dive into it today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you haven't really talked to anybody about acupuncture before, I don't think, have you?
No, but this might be the start of many. Who knows? So for those of you that don't know Belinda, Belinda, with some credentials, I'm going to read them out. BHSC, acupuncture, diploma in Tuina massage.
Tuina massage, yeah.
Tuina massage and Qigong.
Qigong.
I always get that wrong. I'm like, am I going to go Qi? Qigong is the owner of Aroha Acupuncture, based in Waikanae on the Kapiti Coast. Belinda is passionate about all aspects of women's health, especially women facing menopausal midlife changes. And she also enjoys assisting women through discomforts during pregnancy and helps prepare them emotionally and physically for the birth of their babe. With 16 years clinical experience, Belinda has studied other forms of acupuncture besides Chinese, her favorite being Japanese style based on the work of Kiko Matsumo. She also practices specialized forms of body work, including and gentling way abdominal and pelvic massage. Belinda teaches her clients specific self-care methods to extend the effects of the treatments and to inspire and empower them to take responsibility for their own well-being. Well, Belinda, I you know, I'm all about people taking responsibility for their own well-being. So I think that is a great place to start. Let's dive in and learn a little bit more. I'd love to hear from you a little bit more about your journey. You've obviously done quite a few things around this wellness space. Tell me a little bit about how you got here.
Right. Well, I guess it was a second half of life career for me. So basically, I got burnt out working in the corporate sector. 10 years working in a particular job. It was very stressful, and came to a bit of a midlife crisis, I guess. My father sort of died around the same time, and I needed to do some things for myself. And I've always been really interested in holistic health and well-being, and put my toe in the water with a few different things like holistic pulsing and yoga and meditation and other things like that. So basically, when I was in a bit of a crisis, I went to the New Zealand School of Acupuncture. A friend of mine, her daughter was actually training at the time, and so I went along and had some acupuncture, my first acupuncture session. And she was a third year student. She did a very simple treatment on me. It's called the Four Gates, just four simple points, and it was just actually mind and body blowing, really. It was just like I was just incredibly amazed at how different I felt, how my state changed so instantly from the stimulation of these points called the Four Gates. So it was like for the first time in my life, I felt energy moving in my body. I've never sort of felt that before internally, and it was just it's just really, I just was so intrigued about it. I just thought I just have to know more about this. And I was at a real crossroads. So I decided to sign up myself and study at the school the following year. So that was quite an amazing point for me.
It's so fascinating, isn't it? When life puts these opportunities or experiences in front of us. And then we take, whether we walk that path or not, and you decided to walk that path. Let's start with some basics about acupuncture. Some of our listeners will have experienced acupuncture. They will have lain on a table and had their eyes closed and had somebody put some of these needles in specific points. If you can talk to us about how does it work and what does the experience look like for someone that's never really had that, and how does it work? And then I'll throw a few more questions at you.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I guess it looks a little bit different on my table than it might look on other practitioners' tables. So I do practice quite differently from other Chinese medicine acupuncturists, because I studied and I practice more of the Japanese style acupuncture. So on the whole, Japanese style is quite a lot more gentle. They use a lot finer needles and there are quite a few different styles of Japanese acupuncture. So, and many of them rely on sort of, very detailed pulse diagnosis and looking at the tongue. I look at those things as well, but the main thing that I really do, and I learned through my studies with Kiko Matsumoto, the Japanese woman who lives in America, but, she travels the world and teaches acupuncturists very different methods. So what I learned from her was really about the palpation, so touching the body. So basically, when somebody comes to my table, I'm feeling, their neck, points on their neck, their head, the chest, the torso, points on the hands and the feet. So And so seeing, you know, what channels are have things going on, you know, what's active in their body and what the different patterns are. And another big focus too is what they call the hara, which is the abdomen, our abdomen. And so I palpate the abdomen quite carefully. And so there's what we call these reflex zones. So if I find tension, tightness, discomfort in any one or more of the zones, then that points me towards a particular treatment. So it's really the persons who's presenting that we're working together, you know, they're really directing the treatment through their body, like talking to me. So so it's like, yeah, it's quite a different experience. Whereas if you go to a Chinese medicine acupuncturist, lying on their table, you know, you'll talk and they'll take the signs and symptoms, etc., look at your tongue, take your pulse, and then you'll have like a set of points put in your body which relate to that particular pattern, and then hope that it works. So the difference with how I work is that I use the body to really finely tune exactly which points and where need to be used, you know, what points are going to work in terms of like clearing the stagnation, clearing the tension, tightness in the body. Because basically the aim is to have, you know, chi, blood, lymph, everything flowing freely throughout the body. So stagnation happens when, you know, things aren't moving and you get, you know, you get the tension, pain, tightness, as an example of that. Or it could be, you know, people have had abdominal surgery and, you know, C-sections and things like that, and they get a lot of scar tissue and adhesions and things like that. So it's about moving all that stagnation and getting everything moving. So it might be, you know, holding my needle on a point with somebody, and I'll see if it makes a difference on their hara or other reflex zones. And because, as I say, I want to see everything relaxing and feeling just nice without any tension or tightness. And it might be just moving the needle just like a millimeter or 2 millimeters, you know, will make the difference. And I get the feedback from the client who says to me, oh, well, that didn't really make much of a difference. And then I move it just a millimeter or two, and they'll say, oh, yes, I felt that release. Yeah, so it's like it's a really synergistic relationship between the practitioner and the client. We're working together. It's not like you're lying there and having something done to you and hope that it works. It's actually experiencing it working, you know, like I'm experiencing from my perspective, and I can feel things when they release. But also the client gets to feel, you know, the releasing happening in their body and the relief that brings. So it's like almost bringing people back in touch with their bodies again, because often a lot of us are really, working in our head, and, you know, it's often if people had trauma as well, they're really cut off from their bodies. So I see a lot of my job is to, you know, bringing people's awareness to what's going on in their body, and then how to move the stagnation. And then the self-care comes in to, often teach them how to do self-care massage, abdominal massage, massaging their chest, you know, keeping their neck nice and soft, etc. So if people can actually do some of this abdominal massage and this different specialized massage techniques for themselves, they can really, you know, they can really prolong the effects of the treatment, and then, you know, use it as a maintenance as well. So, but again, it's bringing people in touch with their bodies, and, you know, grounding people in their body, and bringing their attention and their love to themselves. And I guess it's, you know, it's quite a journey for us to be learning how to be our own best friends, you know, how to. Yeah, I mean, when I first started doing the self-care massage, I felt quite a lot of resistance to doing that, and, you know, probably old patterns about not being worthy of my own loving attention, something like that, was helping me, was making me resistant, actually putting my hands on my body in a loving way and, you know, doing the self-care massage. Well, when I did it, you know, I just felt like amazing. I could feel like, I feel like all the lights and, you know, in my system are like waking up. It's like, yeah. So it again, it's really connecting me up again with everything, rather than being like a, you know, tight. And when things are tight, it doesn't circulate. So again, it's just about, you know, releasing, relaxing, and, you know, feeling yourself more as part of the universe rather than just like a, yeah, someone who's just not connected, basically. Yeah.
Well, it is so easy for us to go through life and just, you know, go from one task to another. I mean, I've just finished my job and I rush home and we're on an interview. It's so easy. It's kind of what we do. But I think it's so important to take that time. And mm-hmm. I think what I've noticed from this conversation so far is now I've got a kind of a visual idea of the difference. Like Japanese, which you highlighted, was much more of a gentle approach, but also it sounds very attentive. Like you're standing there and you're just making minor adjustments, reminding us about how the body does, you know, respond, and it does tell us what's going on and the importance of moving negative energy or chi, as you talked all about, through the body as well. I would love it if you could share with our listeners, if you can verbally explain something that they can actually do at home. Like obviously they can go and see a practitioner and everything, but is there something that you can talk us through that they can do at home, which is going to be beneficial for their body? I know I've seen a few videos on Instagram where people are helping with the lymphatic system with flow or releasing energy and doing some shaking. Can you talk me through a self-care exercise that our listeners can do for themselves?
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple, but one that we can do easily. So first of all, I would ask everybody just to turn their head one way than the other. So just turn your head to one side as far as you comfortably can.
So like looking left all the way.
Yeah, looking left and then slowly looking right and then just noticing how your neck feels. So just noticing where there's tension, tightness, any discomfort or whatever. Yep. And so if you take your right hand, if you're right-handed, probably, yep, and then apply it to the left side of your chest, so under your collarbone, so that bone sticking up at the top of your chest is your collarbone, and you'll feel your sternum and the ribs. So basically you want to get your fingers under the collarbone, next to the sternum, and pushing out, you feel the ribs between your fingers. So you're going to take quite a firm sort of massage. You can do it on top of clothes or you can do it under your clothes with a bit of massage oil. But, you know, anytime you're sitting at your computer, this is a really good thing to do. So just, again, taking your right hand to your left side and pushing out. So one and then going down a little bit, two, and then one more stroke from the sternum outwards, three, just to the top of the breast tissue in woman. So yeah, again, and go to the top again and pushing out, and then so you want to do it like three strokes, like three times on each side. So when you've done like three times on the left side, just move your left hand to the right hand side and under the collarbone, pushing out like three nice pushes, yeah, to the top of the breast tissue. And take a few nice deep breaths as you do it. So again, this is releasing the pec muscles. People are often really, really tight in the pec muscles, but this is also the area of the lungs. So really good to take some nice deep breaths as you do it, because as we release those pecs, people will be able to breathe a bit better. So then once you've done that like a few times on each side, then again, check with your head, turning it one way and then the other, and it should feel looser. It should feel not as tight, or yeah, it should see some improvement, some change. Yeah.
Thank you so much for showing us. I've got you on video, but I know most people will be listening on audio. So her fingers were kind of, I would say, almost like a rake, but pushing away from the center of the body towards the shoulder in that pec area. It's so true. We do so much with our pecs, our pectoral muscles. Like I, you know, back in the day when I had young kids, I was pushing strollers, you know, I was like, you know, we're hauling groceries. You know, it's computer work. You know, it's driving, it's doing the dishes. It's a lot of stuff on the pectoral area. How often, ideally in an ideal world, how often would somebody do that exercise? Like every day or a couple times a week?
Yeah, every day, maybe even a few times a day. You know, it might be something you do, you know, and it could be something just to do, you know, if you're on the computer a lot, to take a break and to do this, you know. And so there's no magic number. It's just, you know, when you remember to, you know, might have a little post-it note on your computer remind you to do it. But that would be just a really nice, easy thing you can do during your working day, just to release the muscles and to get some more lymph flow, you know. So because when we're sitting in static, you know, our lymph doesn't move as well, our chi doesn't move as well, our blood doesn't move as well. So we wanted to get everything moving and release stagnation, especially it'll help with the neck and shoulders, yeah.
And you also talked about breathing, which is obviously very important as well, helps people with breathing. I'd love to ask you about immunity. Is there, if any, a connection between treatments like acupuncture or self-care exercises that we can do at home and raising our own immunity naturally?
Well, I would say, you know, again, if everything's moving really well, if there's no tension, tightness, pain anywhere, you know, if we're doing the self-massage, we're doing the belly massage and moving the stagnation that's there, because often there's quite a bit to move. And if we do it daily, our whole system is going to benefit. You know, our energy is going to benefit. Again, it's the free flowing of movement, so our body can heal itself. You know, like, you know, if things can't move properly in the channels, well then, you know, how can yeah, our body's just defensive energy won't be working as well. So another thing I want to mention is about cold, because a lot of health practitioners in general don't think about cold, but I think about, you know, Chinese medicine and Japanese acupuncturists, I say Oriental medicine practitioners think about cold a lot, and how cold, either getting cold, exposed to cold from the outside, or internally, so like eating cold foods, eating frozen foods, eating ice drinks, puts cold inside our body. And again, cold stagnates, you know, like you think of warmth, helps blood, everything move, whereas cold is contracting, and it can often, you know, cause a blockage in our body, and, you know, it can get into the digestive system and stop that working as well. You know, you can get into the uterus. You know, again, we have on the bottom of our feet, we have kidney one, which in the middle of our underside of our foot, and we can draw up through all through the yin channels into the stomach, into the uterus, cold. So again, we need to be looking, caring for ourselves about what we're exposing ourselves to, and also internally, what cold are we drinking? Ideally, we'd be having, you know, water at just room temperature or slightly warm. You know, a lot of Chinese and Japanese people like drink, you know, warm green tea and stuff like that. So very protective of themselves against cold, which is quite different to sort of the current fad of doing ice baths and cold showers and things like that.
Yeah, because when you talk, this is so interesting. I'm so thrilled you brought it up, because you were talking about cold, and in my mind, I was thinking, oh, cold exposure. And then you're talking about the cold foods, and I was thinking, I wonder if she's going to say they're good for you or not so good for you. Mm. I love everything hot, so I'm really happy to hear about that. You know, I would always choose a warm meal if I was at a restaurant versus like a salad, because I just like things that are warm. How important is it that something you're putting in your body, for example, a drink or food, versus what you're exposing your body to? Are you saying that some of the cold exposure trends, it's quite trendy at the minute, is possibly not great? Or does it really depend on the person? Or is it more about what food, like what you're consuming?
Again, you know, again, it always comes down to the individual. And I wouldn't be doing it if I'm a menstruating woman, you know. You know, maybe in the second half of the cycle when we're warmer and we can withstand more things like that, but not in the first half of the cycle. And if a person is very deficient in energy and chi and blood, you know, it's not actually, it might make them feel better for a short while, but over time it's going to actually reduce their vitality, reduce their kidney energy. So I don't see it as a good thing, even though it might, you know, feel quite energizing at the time.
Okay, so on the flip side, would exposure to extreme heat be possibly a good thing or a bad thing, or also individual dependent?
Independent, yeah. As you know, some people have quite a lot of heat going on as well, so you know they would feel averse to that anyway. So, yeah, but generally, I find you know most women who I'm working with are mostly quite cold and more yin, and yeah, so I wouldn't say such a good thing for them.
What do you mean by more yin?
So we've got the yin, and we've got the yin and the yang. So the yang energy is more warming, rising, moving energy. So it's like our vital life force, right, that we feel in our body. So the yin is very much, it's the denseness of our body. So it's much more dense energy, and it relates to, you know, tissue and blood and, you know, the dense aspect of who we are. Whereas the yang energy is the much more energetic and, you know, aspect. So there you go.
Okay. So do we want to have both yin and yang energy for optimal?
We have both operating in our body. Yeah. And so but sometimes these get out of balance. So, well, they're usually out of balance. So we often have, you know, people who are more yin, who, you know, usually find it hard to, well, they often put a lot of weight on and things like that. And then there are more, you know, people who've got more sort of yang, who, you know, have more heat and, you know, maybe more nervous energy and things like that. So, I mean, everyone's different. Everyone has a mix of these different energies within them. And it's, and that's the skill of the practitioners, to work out where the excesses and deficiencies are and just how to bring things back, you know, the mm-hmm. nervous system, bring things back into balance so that people feel more calm, more present, and their body can heal itself.
So one of the things I'm really hearing from this is encouraging people to reconnect with their body. One of the things during, for example, a session is that you can reconnect with your body, but also doing daily practices or multiple times a day with some self-care. I'm going to come back and ask you about another one, but also I think really appreciating this, something that I'm really taking from this is massage. A lot of people think, oh, massage, special occasion, you know, on my birthday once a year or twice a year, or other people think, oh, massage, sports injury or that type of thing. But what I'm hearing from you is like, there's a lot of massage techniques that we can do on ourselves without having to necessarily go to somewhere and pay someone to do it. And while we just lie there passively, there's some things we can do. One of them you already explained. Talk to me a little bit more about that pelvic or abdominal massage. Is that something, or stomach massage, maybe it was.
Is that something that
is beneficial for everybody or certain people? Is it more for physical or anxiety? Tell me more about that.
Well, again, it's moving the stagnation, moving the energy blocks. So I usually do a belly massage for people. So they have needles, but they'll also have a belly massage. So because I can actually feel, you know, like moving inside the pelvic bone, up inside the rib cage and around, I go from left to right. So applying, you know, first of all, just going very gently and, you know, hands flat to start with, just, you know, feeling the terrain, and then actually, you know, putting the fingers just slightly down more, just, you know, feeling what's underneath. And often you'll be feeling like lumps and bumps and, you know, areas that might be uncomfortable for the person. So again, it's, you know, getting them in touch with, you know, what's going on in their body, and show them how they can actually, if they take up this practice, they can actually move that stagnation, and you know, they can feel the changes happening under their body. But so, and also with, you know, like this, often people have had abdominal surgery, you know, C-sections, which can, you know, be causing people problems, you know, just years later, 20 years later, you know, that's, it's still, you know, it's a blockage of energy. That scar cuts through so many layers of tissue, and there's often a lot of adhesions and thickness and like ropiness. But we, you know, definitely notice, like from doing needling, we feel changes in that, and then from doing the abdominal massage with it, you know, the person feels the difference and how, you know, that tightness can just recede and just feel more normal, rather than like a block. You know, they often feel like just really blocked or numb or in that part of their body. So it's amazing just connecting people up again, really. Yeah. and then teaching them how to keep doing that.
Absolutely. I just find it really empowering, which is why, you know, I have these topics on my show, because while I love truth and freedom and everything, I also love empowerment, when people can actually understand themselves, their body as well, even more. And, you know, how many people do we meet that are like, oh, I've got a problem with my kidney, or I've got this, or I've got that. But sometimes if we notice more or connect with our body sooner, there are some simpler things like moving the energy around, like you said, the stagnation that we can do in the interim.
Another top tool for people, and, you know, like I call myself the magnesium queen. you've had Karen Creighton on as well, talking about magnesium as well.
Yeah.
Magnesium oil. So topical magnesium oil. So as part of the massage of the self-care, applying this topical spray magnesium onto the body. It's incredible stuff. It's like probably the number one thing, and it's much nicer or much more effective putting it on the body. It goes straight in. If people are having tablets, it has to go through the digestive system. So it depends on how people's digestive systems are working, and only a percentage of it's going to be used in their body. But if people got tension, tightness, pain, they can put the magnesium spray straight on the areas, and it makes a difference, you know, really quickly, like immediately. So I get people to put it on their bodies, like I suggest at least 3 times a day, if not more. But like if they can do a minimum of 3 times a day, they'll notice a huge difference in their, you know, less tension, less tightness, feeling calmer. And I mean, I've actually seen quite big physical changes happening with somebody who's actually just slathered themselves in it. You know, I've seen, you know, like holding pattern on a back, you know, and change, and just like release. And I've actually seen the leg length of somebody change as well, from that having the changes happening in their back and in their sacrum, etc. You know, it's quite incredible, actually. It's magic stuff. And if there's, you know, one top thing that you would, you know, do for yourself, or like supplement that you would use, I would suggest magnesium oil.
Amazing. Okay, so this is like transdermal magnesium, which means across the skin, so it's going through. And when you say slather on your body, because I want to talk to you about quantity, because when I put magnesium on, when I remember now and then, which is probably once a week, not even, I usually put it on like the soft, for my forearm or somewhere like that. I don't actually, are we supposed to go to the source of the problem? Like if I have a sore back, I put it on there, or are you talking about like put it everywhere?
So any tension, tightness, pain, put it there, slather it. But otherwise, if not, I use it on my legs and on my glutes, you know, before I go to bed at night to help with sleep. If I wake up again in the night, I'll put it on again. And I'll try and get it on like during the day as well. So, yeah, it makes a huge difference to, your well-being. Because I think, you know, magnesium is responsible for about 300 or something different body processes, and it's huge in detoxification as well. So it's really going to help with body's detoxification, yeah.
Well, there you go, listeners, magnificent magnesium, and be generous with it. That's my takeaway, because I was being frugal. Yeah.
And the more stressed people are, the more they need it, because you know, often when we're stressed, we don't absorb, we use up more minerals, basically. So we need to put more minerals back in to help de-stress us.
Yes. Well, normally I think magnesium for sleep or magnesium for restless legs, but
it's great for that. Yeah.
I hear that there's more to it. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Belinda Falconer all about the topic of moving stagnation with Japanese style acupuncture and the importance of self-care. We would love to hear from you. What is resonating? What are you doing on the daily or maybe on the weekly to support your own self-care? You can send us a text 2057. You can send us an email inbox@realitycheck.radio. Belinda, before I go to the wrap-up questions, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about either Japanese style acupuncture or the importance of self-care?
Well, I would say, I'm offering even if people can't get to me for treatment, I'm actually offering some online sessions. So if people want to learn some self-care techniques or some acupressure techniques, that's quite a good way to do it. So we can do that.
Amazing. I'll ask you in a moment about how people can reach out and get in touch. But before I do that, I'll ask you the Up Your Brave question. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months, not many left, of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Well, I have to say, actually, just being on this program is really upping my brave, because generally I'm one who's more comfortable working like one-to-one with people or very small groups. So, you know, being in the public sphere like this is actually quite very challenging for me, but it's great to have challenges, and I want to set myself some more challenges. So actually doing, you know, sharing more of my knowledge and wisdom, you know, through like, you know, social media or whatever would be really upping my brave. I've actually been part of an amazing community with Food and Frequencies. You had Karen Creighton,
yes,
and Rock Evans recently on RCR talking about their Food and Frequencies community. And I've been part of their community, you know, all year really, and it's been amazing. Really different information, health information that what I've received, you know, anywhere else. And so a lot of the focus is on detoxification. For some, that's weight loss and reducing inflammation. I've done, you know, like 3-day water fast, and I've just finished doing a 5-day mono fast using one food a day, two meals. I've been doing the ultimate detox, carnivore detox. So just been learning so much and experiencing the changes in my body. So it's like it's been, because I think a huge thing for us these days is about detox, because we're bombarded from all, you know, everywhere with different toxins, and we need to be, you know, really vigilant about what we're putting into our body and looking at labels and just simplifying things. You know, I found that from really simplifying, even down to having just like, you know, two steaks in one day, like the body likes simple and can process simple foods. I mean, nutrient dense food, you know, like, you know, beef or lamb are really nutrient dense. And I'll be working more as part of their community, which is great. And just that goes on to an event that I'm organising at the moment. So in Kapiti, we've got Deb and Karen who are coming down here. They're going to be at the Green Show.
The Go Green Expo in Wellington.
Yeah, the Go Green Show. They're going to be in Kapiti on Monday, the 4th of November, and we're doing a little, you know, about 40 people event at Sunday Cantina in Raumati South, and they're going to be talking about things such as detoxification, inflammation, but they'll be focused on definite things that people can do immediately to take away and integrate into their own self-care regime. So it's cool. So I guess I'm really passionate about sharing things with people that make a big difference in their health and well-being, and that's made a big difference in mine. So maybe helping with other events like that would be, you know, really upping my brave, and, you know, putting myself out there, doing some public speaking or something like that, I'd be happy to do in the future as well.
Well, it's exciting. It is upping your brave to share your wisdom on a greater level. There's something magical about working with people one-on-one and small groups as well, but to share it further afield. And I know, thank you so much for mentioning Karen and Deb. I think they're doing a bit of a tour around the place, going to about 8 locations with their Food and Frequency and doing speaking. They're looking for a few opportunities, I think, in Hamilton and Tauranga, but they have a bunch of other things already scheduled. If you missed that interview, you can check it out on the replay page. What about you personally in your life, in your business? I know you've just got back from an amazing trip to the UK. What else is coming up for you, and how can people connect with you, Belinda?
Okay. Well, for me, I'm actually in November, I'm doing a course, there's an Australian teacher coming over, and he's actually a teacher at the Brisbane School of Acupuncture over there, a university, and he is going to be teaching using tuning forks on different vessels called the eight extraordinary vessels. So they're really powerful points, but it's, yeah, so using so really moving into sort of frequency medicine. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to exploring that whole area. Yeah.
Very good. And where can people follow you online or website?
So I have a website, www.aroha-acupuncture.co.nz. I'm on quite active on Facebook, especially. That's probably the best things. Yeah.
Amazing. So you're on Facebook primarily, Belinda Faulkner.
Primarily, yeah.
Great. All right. Belinda, anything else you want to share with us before we wrap things up, either about self-care, acupuncture, or your thoughts on the state of the world?
Well, so the other thing coming up too is that I'm going to be a grandmother for the third time. I'm visiting my son and his wife in the UK in London. And they're going to be giving birth to their first child next month. So really looking forward to that. So I might have to be another visit.
Wow. Well, what a fascinating time for these babies to come into when there's massive shifts happening. Yeah. In the world, have you noticed more people being curious about or embracing more ownership around their own health and well-being? What have you noticed compared to the previous years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, because, you know, our medical systems become quite dysfunctional. People are waking up to the fact that they have to do things for themselves and take care of themselves. So looking for opportunities. So yeah, I mean, maybe it's something too, maybe through the, you know, the PHA model, you know, the People's Health Alliance, bringing together different practitioners, you know, in a like a sort of a mini sort of workshop type thing. So people can just get exposed to a different modalities and, you know, see what resonates with them. You know, it's like acupuncture is not going to be for everybody because we all gravitate to different things, but it's usually more towards the practitioner, really, I think, whether they're resonating with that particular practitioner. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, there's never been a better time to find out about lots of other holistic health options. And that's really what I'm trying to do, part of what I'm doing on the Up Your Brave show. Thank you for being a guest today, Belinda.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a wonderful experience. You are very good at doing this.
Thank you for upping your brave.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Cheers. And thanks everyone for listening. It was so interesting to chat with Belinda Faulkner about acupuncture. I've known a little bit about acupuncture. I've received acupuncture for, I remember I hurt my rib or I pulled the intercostal muscles. That's right. Many, many years ago when I was doing my outdoor recreation training down in Timaru when I moved to New Zealand back in 1998. And I was kayaking and I pulled my intercostal muscles and I ended up getting some acupuncture. I've subsequently had acupuncture a few times since, and recently I went and had some facial acupuncture. That was interesting as well. So many different types of acupuncture, but I've learned a lot from this interview with Belinda about Japanese style acupuncture. And it was great to hear her little bit of her story from corporate burnout to midlife shift and her embracing this new modality and sharing it with people around the world. Some of the things we talked about was palpation and the reflex zones and the yang and the yin as well. Looking at cold and how cold is contracting and how can be contracting. So being more wary or aware of what we consume and where we put our body as well. She talked about encouraging people to reconnect their awareness back to their body and also about magnificent magnesium, which I think is interesting because these are things we've heard of, but we don't always know the multiple benefits. So let's go to a song. We're going to go to a song that Belinda requested. And this one is called Billie Holiday, God Bless the Child. And Belinda says, I have always loved this song because it speaks to me about self-responsibility and using our own resources. Well, here it is, God Bless the Child by Billie Holiday. followed by a song that I used to sing a lot back in the day. I probably still know all the words, followed by What I Am by Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians.
Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back. You're here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on the Up Your Brave show. And next up, I'm talking to two amazing ladies. We're talking to Sam Young-Fielding and Neha Bansal on the topic of the healing journey, signposting your path to inner peace. And who doesn't want inner peace? Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nat. Thank you for having us here today.
So good to meet with you. This is a first for me. For my listeners, I know you're on the audio, but I'm on the visual. And these ladies are sitting together. They're on the couch. They're all dolled up, looking amazing. I'll try to put a screenshot out. Ladies, so good to see you and have you here on the show today. I love talking about healing, especially holistic health and well-being. For those of you that don't know Sam and Neha, Neha and Sam met at a business networking event 8 years ago. And since they both specialize in solution-focused health and well-being, they kept in touch. And earlier this year, Sam's teenage son began flatting at Neha's property. So the girls came together for a cuppa. You got to love how the universe brings you back together. They discussed how their businesses had been adversely affected by the pandemic before that conversation turned to New Zealand's overloaded healthcare system. And it's truly upsetting how many people have found their past traumas were re-triggered by the pandemic lockdowns. Yet the mental health services these people are calling out for simply were not available. So choosing to be the change they want to see in the world, Neha and Sam decided to pool their resources. They created a collaborative day retreat with an East-West flavor focused on mind-body-spirit healing. And the unique approach combines mindfulness, meditation, and yoga with physical healing practices that work through embodiment. Sam and Neha believe the strength of their new venture lies in the way they have chosen to combine their differences. Even better, their choice is to unite neuroscience with spiritual traditions also addresses the healing conundrum. Repair and recovery are never linear. In fact, healing is better described as a journey of spirals. Ooh, we're going to dive into that. Many twists and turns feel like a step backwards, but in reality, each unpeeled layer circles you closer to your true self. Well, ladies, you've touched on quite a few things I love, which is looking at your true self and also the word journeying. So I would love to start with your own individual healing journeys. We'll start with you, Sam. I know you've been a guest on my show before. Welcome back. Can you let us know a little bit about your own healing journey and why this topic is so important to you?
Thank you. Yes, it is hugely important to me because before I had my children, looking now nearly 30 years ago, I was in an abusive relationship. And it's a typical outcome for children of alcoholics, which I also am. And so for me, stepping away from that relationship, it was already a very challenging move. It took me a long time to be able to do it. And from that point on, finding out how I could avoid the same future for my children. I wanted to break the patterns that had led me there. As I said, abuse is often a situation from alcoholic families. That's where the children end up. And I didn't want to find my own children in that same situation 20 or 30 years ahead. So my journey began simply for myself, trying to find a way to break the cycle.
So I just want to jump in with another question, Sam. So it was quite proactive, it sounds like, on your behalf. At what age did you actively start your healing journey in when you look back?
So I was just entering my 30s, and the actual journey itself really kicked off, I would say, 7 or 8 years later, because then I had my first child. And it was having a child that made me realize I did not want the same future for my own children. So that's how things kind of really forged forwards. Immediately, and as I came out of the abusive relationship, I started doing the typical things. I saw the counselor, I saw a psychologist. I did all the self-help that one can, but there was definitely a hangover that was still with me of how do I break the patterns moving forward? How do I set a new cycle in play for my children?
All right. Well, we're going to come back to you and find out how you did that and how some of my listeners might be able to do something similar. What about you, Neha? Tell us a little bit about your own journey. And Sam's obviously British origin and you're possibly from India. Tell us a little bit about your healing journey.
So that's right, Nat. I'm from India. I've immigrated to New Zealand and now New Zealand is home. I've been here for the last 10 years. So in regards to my own healing journey, I think it started at a very young age, probably as young as 13. And that's because my mother got detected with breast cancer when I was 10. And for me, my mother was my world, right? So seeing her so sick, so suddenly, I couldn't wrap my head around what was going on in my family. And my own personal world got shook up in a very big way. Fast forward at the young age of 15, my mother passed away. Her cancer was terminal. So I started to explore, you know, the deeper questions about life, like why death and why lose loved ones? And now what do I do with this vacuum that I'm left with? This ache and pain that was left in my heart. So my journey started fairly young. I was fortunate to have been born in a country like India because it encourages you to look beyond the physical. It encourages you to look within. So from a very young age, I was able to make that U-turn and really look within myself and ask the deeper questions on healing, about my own healing. And then fast forward a few years later, got married, then got divorced. That's when the journey started again to take a deeper dive into why relationships, if they're going to eventually just break up, right? So that's when more questioning happened. And then fast forward into my 30s, I lost my father. So now I've lost both my parents at a fairly young age. So lost my dad to a heart attack. And I was very attached to him because he was a single parent after my mom passed away. So he raised me single-handedly and did a very loving, wonderful job. So losing him as well made me question relationships again, life again, and myself in relation to life and healing. So yeah, I think my journey has been complex. There's been a lot of trauma, but I've always had the support of my spiritual practices, the support of my mentors and guides to be able to look beyond what is going on. So, yeah, and there's more. There's lots more to my journey. But to sum it up, that's where it's at.
Well, thank you for sharing, both of you. I mean, both of those very emotional, very monumental events in your life. One about the way you were treated, Sam, and then with Neha, it's more around loss. What I find, it's such a fascinating question, you know, how has your, tell me about your healing journey. We could ask anybody that. Some people would roll their eyes or they wouldn't even know what we're talking about. But the minute you have a conversation like that with someone and they open up and it's not a victim story and it's not embarrassment, it's just, it is, it's their life path. It's just where life has led them. I feel like you get to, I feel more connected to both of you. I mean, Sam, I've known you for a while. Neha, I've only met you one time online. And, you just feel a little more connected to someone when they open up and share a little bit about their healing journey. So I'm wanting to honor both of you for what you've been through. What are your thoughts on that, about the connection through conversation about our healing journeys? Do you want to comment on that, Sam?
I definitely. And I think the really interesting thing that Neha pinpointed was how when adversity occurs, however it may be, it creates questions. Mm. We don't necessarily find answers,
no,
but we find questions.
True.
And I think that the questions themselves are the journey, how you come through the questions and where you go along the way.
Mm.
You said that for you, Neha, it went to your spiritual practices.
It did, yeah, very much. And I find that, you know, outside circumstances and situations, they're not in our control and they're ever-changing. So I learned that very young, that the only thing I can control is myself, my inner world, my inner space. And that's what I'm in charge of. I'm not really in charge of what's going to happen on the outside. So knowing that itself was quite empowering, that the work needs to happen here with me on the inside, not so much on the outside, because that will be what it is. And it will continue to unfold in its own way.
When we actually got together for our cuppa earlier this year, and we talked about how our businesses had been impacted by the pandemic, it was that same conclusion that we made, that those circumstances on the outside created a huge amount of fear.
Yes.
Maintain.
Sam, I'm just losing you. It's really quiet. So I'll let you sort some tech out and I'll just jump in, because one thing I was thinking when Sam was highlighting the importance of asking questions is some people would naturally go to, why me? You know, why did this happen to me? That kind of victim mentality or lack question. But what I love about what Neha said, very much a growth mindset, you know, which is like the work has to come from within, you know, life, things happen. You can only control your inner world. And so it's very much a, what we call, you know, a growth mindset. And so I think it's so important to make that distinction. Yes, we want to ask questions, but we want to ask what we call empowered questions rather than why me kind of questions. All right, let's see if we can give it another go. Sam, you want to jump in?
Once we got together earlier this year and we began talking about the pandemic and the effect it had on our businesses, we noticed then how difficult it was that the outside fear that had been raised was something over which individuals have no control, but that internally, a lot of people were still not finding their way forwards. Mm-hmm. They still were not taking that personal control to be able to move themselves on. And that was our impetus behind, looking at how we could potentially work together.
Yeah. And the thing is, well, Nat and Sam, what you're saying about fear, it's so true. It's gripping, isn't it? It's almost like, I like to give a full form to fear. It's that false evidence is appearing real. So it's so true, because it just grips us in a very unrealistic way. You know, back in the day, this example, I'm sure, Nat, maybe you've heard about this before, is like if saber-toothed tiger was charging at you, you know, that was real fear. You had to get into your fight or flight and fight that saber-toothed tiger, right? But right now, there may not even be a threat on the outside, but the perception that the threat is there makes us stay in that fight or flight mode more often than we actually need to, keeping our nervous system in an overload. And that's why the healing journey, I feel, is going to be that calming, restorative, relaxing space for people to actually just push a reset button on their nervous system and come out of that state of fear. Yeah. Isn't it, Sam?
Well, when we were talking, I said about wanting to remove my children from my past cycles and patterns. If we look at the current cycle, it is one of fear.
Yes.
There is so much out there in the world that is pushing people back to that space all the time.
Mm.
So I think it's so interesting, isn't it? Everyone, I feel, everyone's been through something in their life, whether it, you know, like a big event, whether it's, and we're not going to compare my event's bigger than your event, whatever. So everyone's been through something. I imagine all of my listeners have been on their own healing journey in some way. I would love it if you ladies could each share with me maybe one or two of your modalities or methods or something that you personally have used or you've seen your clients use with success to navigate the trauma, big or small, to help them on this journey that we've been talking about. So Sam, we'll start with you. What is something that you've done or that you've seen your clients do and it's actually really been very effective for them?
The first thing that I do with all my clients is I start to talk to them about how anxiety is not life-threatening. And we need to look at our responses to anxiety, because as Neha rightly pointed out, perception is the difficulty. So I start talking to my clients about challenging their unhelpful thinking. And actually, just a simple question of, is this real all of the time? Because that has to be something that we all need to do for ourselves, is to look at our thinking patterns and understand where they can be taking us down. So looking at what we're doing at the moment around an event and the fact that people have to come along to a day for themselves, encouraging people to even take any time out, any space, make themselves a priority is huge. And so many people are just not in a position to do that because they believe, and therefore they are speaking out loud, that their thoughts are controlling them and they can't actually find the space for themselves. And so that's one of the things that I do straight away. But I know you rely a lot on meditation, don't you?
Yeah, Sam. So in terms of what I do with my clients is a lot of meditation, yoga, neurochange work, and also hypnotherapy. So a combination of all these evidence-based, science-backed modalities really give my clients a lot of breakthrough. And I know that because they've given me a breakthrough. So as a life coach, I don't go ahead. It's basically that I practice what I preach. So if it hasn't worked on me, I'm not going to pass it forward to somebody else. And I,
I wish everybody could see the video. She's got the most gorgeous smile on her face as she's talking about this. It's tell me a little bit more. You said this phrase, neurochange work, which I think I know what that is, but can you break it down for us? What is, I haven't heard that term before.
So neurochange, not simply put, is mindset work, right? Stuff to do with our neurology. So in neurochange, we're basically looking at creating new neural pathways so that we live more empowered lives, right? So think about it like this. I think of a thought, think of it like a highway, right? I think of one thought and I jump on the highway once. But if I keep thinking of that same thought over and over again, think of it that that highway keeps getting easier to jump onto. So that is what we mean by neural mapping or creating new neural pathways. So the better our mindset becomes through the work that I do, the easier it becomes to jump on that highway and actually live our life through the new patterns that we're creating for ourselves. So that's, in essence, simply put, what neurochange does for us. It's focusing on growth mindset, creating new neural pathways to live empowered lives.
Yes, and that's the thing. We want to be. I mean, this show is all about empowerment and inspiration and motivation. So it's very in alignment. I want to stay with you, Neha. There was something I heard just the other day. I was watching a panel of four amazing women talking about various things, but one of them was spirituality. And they were talking about, somebody mentioned how yoga is a great way to prepare your body for meditation. And I've never thought of it like that before. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so yoga actually comes from the Sanskrit word yug, which means to unite. And it is the unity of the self, which is Atman in Sanskrit, to the unity of the universal consciousness or divinity, which is Paramatman. So I'm using Sanskrit words here, but stay with me. So it's basically, again, what I said at the beginning of the conversation, making that U-turn, Nat, you coming home to your own divine self, and that is yoga. It is a union with yourself. And yes, it's a beautiful space. It's almost like, you know how when you garden, you create the soil by digging or by aerating it? And yoga does that. It's that digging off the soil, but instead of it being soil in the ground, this is your own personal self that you aerate, and you just lay the ground to, yeah, for a beautiful, better life. And normally when people think of yoga, they might think of it as an exercise, but it's actually not that. The flexibility that you get in your body is a byproduct. It's the flexibility of mind, which is what yoga does for us. So yeah, that time when I'm on the mat, it's the time of awareness. It's the time of becoming breath aware. It's a space of meditation. Yeah, and it's just that taking that U-turn to come back to your own divine self. That's yoga for me.
That's amazing. And also possibly releasing, you know, when you stretch, and especially in the hips, don't we retain a lot of stress and energy in our hips? And when you're doing 100. The different poses, releasing that energy. Well, I, you know, I've started doing a lot of yoga, but primarily fitness and yoga combined. But I love the idea of, oh, yes, well, it makes you more centered, more grounded, more present. And then to meditate after that. I mean, one of the most popular classes we go to is the deep stretch candlelight. So it's like at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night. And then people go home and they just like have the best sleep because they're so centered and grounded. What about you, Sam? So meditation and yoga for Neha. What about you? Is there any other things that you personally do for yourself to help you through the journey? Because obviously healing doesn't just finish, it keeps going.
For me, it's emotional release work. Yes. And we actually work, we have similar qualifications and we work to achieve the same end. We just work in slightly different ways. Yeah. And that's why we decided that we would collaborate, because my approach is much more emotional through embodiment. And yours is focused on the mindset and the meditation side. So bringing the two together brings that full layered approach of physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual.
That's right.
And that's why we thought we would actually be successful at collaborating. But I think also coming from different experiences, different traditions. Yes. And I think a lot of my clients are male, whereas a lot of yours are female.
Yeah.
So there's a big complement in the way that we do the things that we do. We're actually both of us doing emotional release work,
yes.
But I do all of mine through conversation, whereas you do a lot of yours through meditation and work on the mat in yoga.
Yeah, and mindset as well. And yeah.
Well, everyone, most people know I'm a huge fan and advocate for collaboration and bringing your strengths together. And I love that because I think a lot of people would maybe do a lot of the physical, but maybe not so much more of the conversational and vice versa. There's some people that will talk about a lot of things, but really what they need to do is get into their body and connect more to their body as well. Can you, either of you want to comment on that? Do you have an example, always wanting to keep your confidentiality in mind, but if you have an example of either yourself or someone that you've worked with that has managed to fuse both of those things together and then have a deeper level of healing?
From my side, I actually started off when I trained at my healing center in the UK, I started off with physical approach. So I trained with hands-on work. And the further I worked, the more people joined me as therapists in my healing center. And that's when I moved to doing the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual training. And that's all that I do nowadays. I actually don't do very much physical approach. So it's really nice to circle back around to what Neha is offering, where my own approach to physicality is my dancing, but coming back into where working with Neha, and she said to me, let's have some skeleton dancing at the retreat. And I'm like, what is skeleton dancing?
What is it?
So basically, Nat, any kind of movement, you know, we store energy, we store memories, all of that into not just our physical body, but going deeper into the physical body, into our bones. So what skeleton dancing is going to do for us is actually shake all of that out of our body, because we don't need it. It doesn't serve any purpose. It doesn't serve any good. And so this kind of movement, which is chaotic, we're going to close our eyes. See, any work I do is all about internal. It's internalizing whatever is happening with ourselves. So we're going to close our eyes. It's not about seeing how the other person's dancing or how our movement looks like. It's not about that. We close our eyes and it's chaotic dancing, it's chaotic movement to the sound of drums, shamanic drums. And it really just let go. You were able to let go of stored trauma, stored emotions and memories that no longer serve us.
But if we then look at the fact that we also have some sessions at our retreat where we're doing art history work.
Yes.
We have a memoir art session where
I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. Where we're encouraging people to not write, because most of us find it more easy to express ourselves verbally or in writing, but to actually draw, to use imagery. Because of course we have parts of our brain that are so primitive, that's they don't actually process words. So we've got a little bit of all the approaches because we thought it would be so much fun to give people the opportunity to try something new.
Yes, because as adults, right, we always usually talk or write, but how often do we get, you know, time or told to draw images? I think that's so powerful. It sounds amazing. All right, ladies, I'm going to ask you the Up Your Brave question for both of you. As we are now at the end of October in 2024, if you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do? What about you, Sam?
Oh, well, for me, it's actually this collaboration. I'm a control freak. When you've been in a situation where you've been abused and things have been taken away from you, including your freedom, it becomes, how can I control everything so that can never happen to me again?
Yeah.
So I've been, my entire life, I've been very independent. I have been the person who totally relies on herself. And the opportunity to collaborate with somebody, to actually work on a joint event, and then potentially what more comes from that we don't yet know, for me, that is entirely upping my brave.
I hear you. Yeah, the trust and the releasing, the letting go of being the one in charge of all the things. Well, good on you. And open to what come what may. Well, I'm sure it will be amazing. Sam, your business is called Happinessence, right? So you help people to be happy. Is that what that means?
That's exactly right. The essence of happiness is how that name came together. And so, yeah, the challenge is people never come when they're happy. They always come when they're not. Mm. And the opposite is so many different things, such a variety. So I think that works really well when you look at the fact that Neha's business is called Inspire. So bringing those two together has given us lots to play around with, hasn't it?
For sure.
Amazing. What about you, Neha? What does upping your brave look like to you?
So I believe bravery is about being unapologetically yourself, even when it's uncomfortable. It's about standing firm in my values and speaking from my heart. My journey this year is all about cultivating this courage, leading with love, compassion, humility, and grace, and being at peace with my authentic self. And it's also about really shining my true essence, and regardless of what external opinions are. Yeah, I think that is what
imagine a world if we all did that.
Wouldn't that shine beautifully?
Actually, I love what you just said. I didn't get a chance to write it down because I was just absorbing it. But if you can send that to me, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. Compassion and grace and courage and love, everything there. Amazing. All right, ladies, what is coming up? You've been talking about this retreat. I'd like to hear more, like, where is it? When is it? And I know you both work with people individually as well. So let us know. Neha will stay with you. What is coming up for you? How can people connect or find you online?
So I have a website, Nat, that people can find me at. It's Inspire My Space. That's my website. And then I also am active on Instagram. My Instagram handle is HypnoCoachingNZ. And both and on my website, of course, there's information on myself, contact information, my email and things like that. And what's coming up for me is I'm working, other than the beautiful collaboration with Sam and I with the healing journey, we also have another retreat coming up next year in January, which I think we'll be talking about a little bit later. So I don't want to jump the gun. from my own business perspective, I'm writing a course. It's called The Holistic Wellbeing, Cultivating a Well-Balanced Life. So that course is in progress. It should probably be live earlier next year. So I'm very excited about that. The course essentially talks about creating sustainable habits and rituals and routines that will stick, that are holistic, that are for your well-being, and simplified, because I like simple. Life is stressful enough. There's enough challenges that we're all going through. So this course is going to be simple, sustainable, and helps you to stick with your routines and well-being.
Stick That's with it. I love it. What about you, Sam? I know you're Happinessence, I think, on Instagram.
Yeah, Happinessence NZ on Instagram. And the website is simply happinessence.co.nz. So there's a great ways to get in touch. What we've got coming up is obviously our January event, which is the 18th of January. And so therefore we're running the physical healing retreat on that date. So that's going to be amazing. That'll be our second event.
That's right.
But also personally, I've got some freedom work that I'm doing. I've got a freedom event coming up on the 2nd and 3rd of November. That's going to be great, bringing a whole lot of people together to review history, to actually revisit the history of New Zealand and understand how that's coming to, together.
Oh, I love that topic.
Nowadays. Yeah, it's going to be
the true history.
Well, the true history. And then truly for myself, this one is amazing. My husband and I are looking at being part of a group that's going to do the Tongariro Alpine Crossing.
Oh,
So,
and you've been training.
Oh my God.
And
I can barely walk at the moment. Yes. So that's been hard. But yeah, looking up, that's I'm supposedly planning for November. So fingers crossed.
Well, that'll be amazing. I'm sure the weather will be in your favor.
Hopefully.
It sounds great. All right. So people can find out if they want to get on the wait list. I'm curious to keep me on the wait list for that January event. It sounds amazing. I want to do some drawing and some skeleton dancing. Sign me up. Sounds really cool. All right, ladies, for each of you, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today? Go ahead, Sam. We'll stay with you and we'll finish with Neha.
I think simply push back on the fear. For me, that resumes everything we've been talking about today. Whatever your journey is, whether it's one of healing, whether it's one of growth, the fear is the thing that takes you backwards, that spins you out of your own orbit. And I think that's the thing to do. Push back on the fear, start questioning, make prioritizing space for yourself is so important. And if you do get pulled down by anxiety, remember that it's a natural body defense. It is not something that is life threatening. It is something that you can deal with. So that would be my final message today. What about you, Neha?
I think I would like to say that healing is non-linear in nature, and that is why it's a journey. Healing requires patience, building resilience and adaptability. And also, once that healing journey starts to happen for an individual, a lot of maturity and patience and self-compassion starts to develop. And I think we can all do with a little bit more of that. So, yeah, I just encourage everybody to embark on that personal healing journey for themselves.
And not necessarily alone.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Not necessarily alone. Because we're not alone.
Reach out. Reach out for help if needed.
Yes.
So good. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today. Everyone, we've been chatting with Samantha Young-Fielding and Neha Bansal all about the healing journey. Thank you, ladies, for joining us.
Thank you, Nat. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Samantha Young-Fielding and Neha Bansal. We were talking about the healing journey, thriving, meditation, mindset, movement, all the things. Skeleton dancing. Did you ever know what that was? Have you heard of that before? We also talked about neurochange work and creating new neural pathways to live a more empowered life, which obviously I'm all about people living in a more empowered life. We talked a little bit about yoga as it's a union to yourself, having flexibility of mind and greater awareness. You can get in touch with these ladies. You can get in touch with Sam. She's known as Happinessence NZ on Instagram. She's also on Facebook. And you can find Neha on Instagram with Hypno Coaching NZ. By the way, Sam is also my co-host for the Empowered Connections Club, which is a networking club that I run online with Sam. She also hosts the Karaka South Auckland Empowered Connections Club in person. So if you are a entrepreneur, coach, healer, speaker, author, etc., and you're wanting to connect with others to expand your business, then get in touch with us because it's so fun, actually. We connect every 2 weeks. The time between the 2 weeks seems to just disappear. It flies by and just make some amazing friendships, some amazing connections to rise up higher. And speaking of rising up higher, oh my God, I didn't even plan that. Here we go. The song that these ladies have chosen is called Rise Up by Andra Day. And following that, we're going to have a song called Young Folks by Peter Bjorn and John. Enjoy. Well, lovelies, that is it. That is the Up Your Brave show for this week. We will be back next week, maybe with some exciting shifts and changes on the international landscape. I'm sure there's some great things, hopefully, coming our way. We will do our best as a reality check radio station to keep you posted on what is really happening around the world, as well as in New Zealand. If you've got any insight or any topics you want us to cover, do get in touch and let us know. It's been incredible to spend some time with you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much if you're in the Foundation Members Club or you've made a contribution or you've worn some merch or done something. I'm sure most people have to help us spread the word, raise the awareness, keep the radio station going. We really appreciate that. Thank you also to my incredible guests today, Samantha Young-Fielding, Neha Bansal, and Belinda Faulkner. It's been amazing to have you on the show. We will be back with a new lineup of guests and topics to cover next week. And until then, this is Sarah Bareilles with her song Brave, followed by Good Life by Saloma. Have an amazing week. You can be amazing, you can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast. Flash of somebody's lack of love, or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do when they settle near your skin, kept on the inside and no sunlight. Sometimes a shadow wins, but I wonder what would happen if you say what you wanna say and let the world.
You've been listening to Up Your Brave with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on RCR, Reality Check Radio.